humanity increasing.
Welcome to Speaking of Animals. I'm Lori Sonnenfeld, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. And I did want to mention before we get into our topic for today, and I have an interview to present. Well, I have someone waiting on the phone that I'm excited about talking with. But I wanted to mention that I am looking for one or two people to help me compile news, especially local area news, about animal rights issues and animal issues. So if you're interested in that, please call me down here after the show at 231-8032, 503-231-8032, after my show, which is at, we're done at 10. And I am pleased to introduce Priscilla Farrell of Friends of Animals. Hi, Priscilla.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. I'm excited to talk with you. I've been getting your emails about wolf control in Alaska and what they're doing. It's been a wild ride for the last 6 weeks or so.
Exactly. It's been like some kind of roller coaster on a collision course.
Yeah, and pretty bizarre.
Well, very bizarre, because you figure that if people play by the rules, it ought to turn out in the end. But the opposite has happened.
So why don't you fill people in? They probably are not. Some people are probably not aware of everything that's gone on in the last month and a half.
Okay. Just for a little bit of background, for gray wolves in the United States, there are probably two states that have, you know, more than 1,000 wolves, and that would be Minnesota and Alaska. And for anyone that hasn't seen the vastness of Alaska, there are five wolf control areas that have been designated for a shooting campaign with the use of either helicopters or small aircraft, Super Cubs. And this area, this five-region area, is about the size of the state of Alabama. Mm-hmm. It's probably 50,000 square miles. So there's a lot of territory involved.
How much of Alaska is that? Is that like a third or half or a small part or big part?
Well, to us, you know, to be the size of the state of Alabama, it sounds like a lot. It isn't necessarily a lot for the vastness of
mm-hmm.
Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
But what they've done, the Board of Game is, maybe there are like seven of these people, but they're all handpicked by the current governor, who's been in office about 2 years. And Governor Frank Murkowski used to be a member of Congress. And he was always known as, you know, very conservative, kind of throwback to the old frontier days. And the problem is he got into office, and what he did was unearth all of the hideous wolf and bear control policies that had been abandoned in a more progressive administration. So Alaska hadn't allowed the shooting of wolves by people that had their own private aircraft for more than a decade. But Frank Murkowski got into office in 2003. And by November 2003, the Board of Game had approved of a wolf control program to start in one area of Alaska. And I said at the time, this will be a blueprint for the rest of the state. And in the last 2 years, they've opened this kind of Air Force shooting of wolves in five areas. And what they've claimed is, and this is not true, that there are hand-to-mouth existence people, especially natives, who are in these areas who are starving or who have very little food available to them. And therefore, they don't have enough moose to shoot and kill or caribou. And we have to hammer wolves so that people don't starve to death. The problem with that is that it's totally untrue, and that the Board of Game has only allowed fish and game biologists who support that point of view to make presentations and to influence their decisions. In January of this year, 2006, after a 2-year court battle, Friends of Animals won its lawsuit, and a judge declared the Ariel Wohl shooting campaign illegal. She said that all the regulations that the Board of Game had created to support their contentions were invalid. And she's all, I mean, what she's pointing to is population figures, all their analysis. She said that the wolf control program had to stop. So the permits were yanked. And within about 10 days, the Board of Game...
Well, now wait just a second. So you stopped and you were, you didn't stop your activities, but you paused and were celebrating, correct?
Oh, we were planning a victory party in Anchorage.
Yeah, and...
I mean, people were heralding the opportunity to say, oh my gosh, you finally stopped them, and you had to stop them in court.
And what date was that?
That was January 17th.
Okay.
Now, what I should have mentioned, because people always wonder about, well, what do Alaskans think? Alaskans have voted twice in recent years, 1996 and the year 2000, to outlaw these aerial gunning programs at the polls with voter initiatives. So twice they've defeated the idea that this should be legal. And the state legislature in Alaska is very conservative, and they actually overturn what the voters have done, which is why we had to resort to the courts, because what we've been able to pass into law has been overturned, you see.
Both times.
By state legislators.
So both times the legislature overturned it.
Yes.
We had that, we've had that fight here in Oregon about bears and cougars and types of hunting here. I know the ballot initiatives passed, and then the legislature tried to overturn it, and they continue to try, and I don't actually know
which
the current
really,
status.
Yeah, isn't it kind of counterintuitive, though, that, you know, if the legislature is supposed to reflect, you know, what the constituents want,
mm-hmm.
how can the constituents have this mm-hmm. democratic process mm-hmm. and then have it overturned?
Well, it is upsetting, and the, more than that, but I think they seem to believe that they know better than the public.
Right. Right. The arrogance of it all.
Uh-huh.
So by the end of January, and this is only a few weeks ago, it feels like months, but the Board of Game called an emergency meeting, and it was really an emergency meeting to kind of shore up their public relations disaster, as they saw it, and they changed the rules. They went in, they rewrote a bunch of regulations, and they said, okay, we're up to snuff now. And they reissued these wolf control permits. And unfortunately, the same judge who ruled in our favor did not overrule what the state wanted.
So and you mean she reviewed it and approved it?
She...
Or didn't rule again, or...?
She although she didn't reverse herself on the victory, she said that they could have called an emergency meeting. They said that people were starving in villages and things that they didn't prove, but she basically didn't want to rule against the state.
Uh-huh.
She backed out of this.
Uh-huh.
So
it did go back to her.
We're left filing an amended complaint.
Uh-huh.
There is an effort underway to get signatures for a ballot measure for 2008. But our tourism boycott is back on in Alaska.
Now, did I also read that the Alaska Supreme Court refused to hear it? Is that right?
What they did was they didn't rule on the merits of it. They just declined to be petitioned to review it.
Uh-huh.
And in the last year, they only accepted 3 out of 78 petitions presented to them. So we
uh-huh.
knew it was a long shot.
Uh-huh. So that was after the original judge declined to issue a restraining order, then you went to the
right.
Supreme Court.
And the original judge said, you know, she pointed out, she said, no judge can second-guess the state on a technicality.
Uh-huh.
So she couldn't judge that.
Uh-huh.
She couldn't decide if they made the right decision on the data.
Uh-huh.
So this is where it gets complex and convoluted.
So you said you've reinstated the boycott.
We have. The reason for that is, you know, people will remember that South Africa went through, you know, economic boycotts until apartheid was abandoned. And sometimes economic pressure works.
Mm-hmm.
It in a constructive way, because I mean tourism operators aren't happy about this, but what it conveys to the residents there and to the government is that there's a public uproar and that people can travel anywhere, you know, and they don't have to travel to a state to try to see wolves and bears and other animals that are persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And treated in really primitive, vile ways. So people are joining that boycott by, under the new campaign theme is, I'd rather be here than in Alaska. And people are taking photographs of themselves in various areas around the country and mailing those photographs in. And we're putting together a photo gallery that will be sent out to news outlets and certainly to the government in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will give the boycott some momentum.
Mm-hmm. More of a visual image.
Yes, and I mean, some of this is very tongue-in-cheek. You know, the photos, some are very funny. You know, somebody in a dentist chair getting a root canal with the sign, I'd rather be here than in Alaska. You know, somebody else at the top of the Empire State Building. You know, it goes from the highs and lows and everything in between. But this is a way for people to participate through the Internet to convey a message that doesn't require us to organize, mm-hmm. as we have in Portland before. A lot of howl-ins with postcards and organizing that takes time.
Yeah.
This can be almost effortless.
So how do people participate if they want to be involved in this campaign?
Well, they can go to view the photo gallery that is soon going up at boycott-alaska.org.
Why don't you repeat that?
It's boycott-alaska.org.
Okay.
And we will also have a link to this on our homepage. It's, you know, friendsofanimals.org.
That's easy.
And they can send us a photograph electronically to submissions@friendsofanimals.org.
Okay, good. And now let's go back to this topic. So do you have many members who are in Alaska who are working on this?
There are several hundred in Alaska, and, you know, I'm hearing universally the same thing from every single one, and they're saying, fantastic, give us a web page, too, and we'll get a petition going of all of us that want to stand up to this government.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are people with friends in the tourism industry that say, you know, it's not as though we're trying to hurt people, but we're trying to get people politically
mm-hmm.
active.
I noticed in the reading I did about this subject that everywhere that the state representatives or the game board representatives are quoted, they always say an outside animal rights organization, outside, you know,
yeah.
as if you have no right to be active there.
Well, what's funny about the Alaskans, and I mean, they are wedded to this idea that even though most of them are carpetbaggers and migrated there from some other place, that there are outside interests. You know,
yes,
there are outside interests, and that's the tourism industry. That's a $2 billion a year industry, the second most important one to Alaska. That requires an outside interest,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that they are the recipients of most of the federal monies. So, you know, the state of Connecticut doesn't get a lot of money from Alaskans, but Alaskans get a lot of money from all of the rest of the lower 48 taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
And what Governor Murkowski just acknowledged, this was, you know, only a week ago when he had a press conference, he said that the state should hire a public relations firm to change the perception of Alaska. Because he said the people are viewed as greedy for federal dollars and all too willing to plunder the environment for profit. Well, boyoing, you know. I mean, whether it's the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge or hammering wolves, you know, through an air force, it's the public policy that needs to shift.
So how does Minnesota handle its wolves?
Minnesota really has a terrible program to benefit livestock operators in that, you know, someone with a turkey in Minnesota, that says that the turkey was free roaming and they didn't see it again and they think a wolf got it, can call a federal trapper out, and that's somebody that all of us, again, pay for, to trap all the wolves in the area until the wolves are gone. So that they...
So they're not doing
They kill the wolves that bother animals known as livestock. Now, you know, this isn't an aerial shooting campaign, but it doesn't seem justified. In Alaska, since November 2003, 461 wolves have been shot with aircraft.
And this season is just picking up, correct? They're about to
Right, because of the sunlight.
Yes.
You know, what has held the gunners to the ground, they've killed about 40 wolves so far. They had expected to kill hundreds by now, but there have been very cold temperatures and very intense winds. And so 157 hunter pilots, you know, haven't had as many opportunities as they wanted. When they get up in the air, and they hope to do that a lot in February and March especially, they're looking for snow. They need snow cover to be able to find wolves. And then they track them, and they see them cutting an edge in the snow and running in a single file. And they race them with those planes, and they either shoot them from the aircraft or they run them to exhaustion, and they try to take out first the lead wolves, the alphas, so to speak. You know, so the others are kind of disoriented. And then they land those planes quickly and shoot them. So it's a shattering of, you know, entire families. And how it can be dismissed on ethical grounds is just beyond us. You know, the biology of these wolves is based on their cooperation. They're highly sentient animals. And no way can this be justified.
The pilots, are they paid by the state to do this?
They pay their own money. I mean, can you
imagine?
They're
doing this for fun.
These people invest a minimum of $4,000 each for the opportunity to shoot the wolves. In other words, it's kind of like an aerial rodeo event.
Yeah.
And there are people who, and the fish and game biologists, who just think about numbers and they figure, it's like fleas. You know, we'll get rid of a bunch and they'll bounce back, and meanwhile we'll have a good old time.
So, given that Alaska Game Board is committed to reducing wolf populations, are any of their other predator control programs any better, or how do you believe that it could be better handled, given that scenario that they are going to try to reduce the population?
I think that, you know, there's several things that need to happen. That this needs to become an issue in the gubernatorial campaign in the next couple of years. There are already people announcing that they're going to run against Murkowski, and several of them are saying, you know, we're not for wolf control. And so what we need to do is ratchet back the terrible, dastardly deeds of the current Board of Game. All those people are hand-pointed by the governor. So the Board of Game needs to change. It needs to be more reflective of what the interests there are in the state. And there are only 14% of the people that have hunting licenses, and a lot of those people don't agree with this program. But you've got a Board of Game. Some of them are professional hunting guides. Some of them trap for a living. For the most part, you know, they all have terrible ideas. And to reflect better policy, you need different people at the helm, in both the governor's office and on that board.
Well, your position is that their statistics about moose and caribou numbers versus wolf numbers, that all that is faulty, correct?
They've made a lot of stuff up, and they've made up data to accommodate what their interests are, and that is to appease and satisfy the people that either enjoy shooting wolves and or feel that they'll have better moose hunting opportunities if they can eliminate a bunch of wolves.
And has contraception been considered? Is it an option for reducing populations?
It was tried back in 1997. I think it was a terrible campaign. But the number of wolves is really not an issue. It's a practice that they don't want to put to bed.
Uh-huh.
The problem is not so much.
Because the hunters want to do this.
Because you're right. The hunters want to do this. And where our biologists, we support a wolf researcher in Alaska, Gordon Haber, in all of his research and have since 1993. And he and the other biologists that are part of our legal team totally disagree that moose numbers are low in any of these wolf control areas.
I see.
He said there are no hardships. He said, for example, in McGrath, that original area where they wanted the wolf control, close to 46% of the people hunting moose actually get a moose. And overall, the average in the rest of the state is under 10%.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 1%. So, you can't blame wolves.
Mm-hmm.
That people expect moose to be lined up along the river to shoot them. You know, the natives did. The culture used to move around depending on where the caribou and moose went.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't true anymore.
Do you have support from any of the native peoples?
We do. And in fact, the 40-mile area where wolves were sterilized in 1997, there are two villages there of Eagle and Chicken, it's called, and the residents overwhelmingly have said they're opposed to wolf and bear control and that they value both of those animals as part of their culture.
Speaking of bears, can you tell us about the new development regarding bears in Alaska?
Well, they're not... they're not shooting them from aircraft yet,
mm-hmm.
but certainly there were machinations to kind of allude to that.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is they're allowing baiting, with donut piles or what have you.
But there's starting to allow selling of
bear skulls and skins.
Yeah.
Something that hasn't happened in many, many decades. So, and I think it's all to kind of liberalize the idea that there could be some commercial interest in participating.
So I'm going to ask you one more thing, but let's tell people one more time, if you want to submit a photo of where you'd rather be than Alaska for the boycott of Alaska tourism, where do they go?
They can send the pictures electronically to submissions, SUBMISSIONS, at friendsofanimals.org.
And you can also get more information on all of this at friendsofanimals.org.
Yes.
And I want to remind people that in March coming up is the Canadian seal hunt. And there are a number of different animal organizations, unfortunately I left home without all my notes this morning, but that are very active in trying to stop.
There's a big demo in New York City that Friends of Animals is holding on the 15th of March.
Involved in that.
Yeah, the 15th of March, probably in Portland and areas across the country, will be a day of recognition. I think the most important thing to do, the U.S. is not a market for seal skin, but Russia and most of Europe is.
Uh-huh.
And it's a Canadian market that thrives, too. So to engage Canadians in stopping their own politicians from subsidizing this slaughter is the most important thing we could do.
Good.
Our demo in New York will be outside the Canadian Embassy.
And we have about two more minutes if there's any other program that you want to mention.
The world is full of them, but I appreciate so much.
In terms of your own organization's projects.
Yeah, we're... we have a new cookbook, Dining with Friends, The Art of North American Vegan Cuisine, and I'm a co-author of it. So we're proud of promoting vegetarianism as a way of living and dining.
Uh-huh. Okay, Priscilla, I want to thank you so much for being with us. I've been talking with Priscilla Farrell of Friends of Animals, and that website is www.friendsofanimals.org.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Priscilla.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. So this is Speaking of Animals. I'm Lori Sonnenfeld, and I want to remind you that I'm looking for one or two people who might want to help compile animal rights news information that we can use on this program, and especially local information, basically little news briefs. And I can help you with how to do it And if you're interested, please call in a couple of minutes down here at the station at 503-231-8032, 231-8032. And meantime, be good to your animals. Thanks for listening.
Lord, I hate to be choosing. Man, I wish I didn't have to be choosing.